Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
It's Monday, 8th of April, 2024. My name is Wojciech Przybylski. I'm editor-in-chief of Visegrad Insight. Welcome to the show. It's been an eventful weekend in Central Europe. We had mass demonstrations again in Budapest and build-up of a political movement of Peter Magyar. And I would recommend listening to the previous episode of Visegrad Insight, in which we discussed together with Balint Ruf the options and the phenomena of the new political leader on the Hungarian political scene, with many predictions that actually are turning out correct, looking back at the decisions and the announcements from the rally that Peter Magyar organized again this weekend. We also had Polish local elections. You will find more about the local elections in Poland and their significance for the national politics in the weekly outlook and also in the follow-up text that we're publishing later this week and the next week. But I wanted to draw your attention to the most important electoral game this weekend in Central Eastern Europe, which was Slovakia presidential race. The second round of the presidential race has been won by Peter Pellegrini against Ivan Korčok. Peter Pellegrini won using narratives and smear campaign and tactics, in fact, which have been aligned to Russian type of political, pro-Russian type of political marketing, political technology that we have seen already in a number of other elections when pro-Russian candidates, those who would manifest in their communication, their political language, the ideas sponsored by Moscow would be winning or having strong chances. So this was the case of Peter Pellegrini in Slovakia. And because it was such an interesting electoral race with the result that will definitely impact the Central European dynamics, we organized on this day also a closed video call with two prominent Slovak journalists, Mihaela Terenzani from Daily SME and Eva Mihočková, leading SFPA, Slovak Foreign Policy Association magazine, as an editor-in-chief. And also for this spring, Marcin Krul Fellow at Visegrad Insight, who already written for Visegrad Insight their analysis related to the elections in Slovakia, but they also have participated in this online discussion for subscribers only to analyze and to shed light on the dynamics and the outcomes, the prospects for Slovakia that come with the choice made by the voters. We're sharing first part of the recording where the discussion between Eva and Mihaela is taking place. And the second part of the conversation we have had together with questions and comments from the other participants, our subscribers, is of course for their ears and eyes only. For those who actually are subscribing to Visegrad Insight and registered for the event. Therefore, a small reminder and advertisement, if you're listening to this podcast episode, also consider subscribing to Visegrad Insight and be part of the community that sponsors democratic security conversations on Central Europe, from Central Europe. Okay, now let's move on to the conversation we had with Eva Mihočková and Mihaela Terenzani.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining this call. Please put your microphones on mute if you can. We'll begin very shortly. Some people will be still joining as usual. Today's event is sponsored by a host of subscribers, those individuals and institutions that subscribe to Visegrad Insight online. And I do encourage anyone who has declared that they will subscribe, this is subscribers event only, to follow through. And thank you all already for those who have, even today. We had a number of those subscriptions here. It's not so much the money, a small amount to contribute to our efforts, but your recognition that our work is of importance. And there is a special discount, I think, that will be distributed from my team during the meeting, which will help us, our community, grow. And again, we're very grateful for all your support to by subscriptions to our service. But having said that, I wanted to welcome our two excellent speakers for today. We have Eva Mihočková, editor-in-chief of the foreign policy magazine in at the Slovak Foreign Policy Association, member of the Team Direct, Team Europe Direct expert group at the Commission, investigative journalism at the Corruption Stop Corruption Foundation, and who has been also winner of the Journalism Award 2022, given by Open Society Foundation Slovakia, and no less distinguished journalist and colleague Mihaela Terenzani, who has had a long career already in, despite being in journalism for not so long herself, but the great input she has had on foreign policy, also of Slovakia, and domestic politics. And Mihaela has been editor at the Slovak Spectator, an English language edition of the SME Daily, our partner media, and the has been also authoring The Last Week in Slovakia there, and has been leading the foreign desk, and now also covering the national desk at the Slovak main daily newspaper SME. You can also find Eva's columns in SME, discussing journalism, discussing foreign policy and issues through these journalistic channels. But specifically today, we have a more focused discussion on the with experts. And in the first part, which is already being recorded, I wanted to first say thank you for joining. Then we'll have a discussion in a moment, and then in a very organized way we'll have a group photo before Q&A, that which will be off the record and will be exclusively for those who are participating in this meeting, while the first part will be also distributed further and available to other readers at Visegrad Insight, and potentially at our podcast, Visegrad Insight podcast. So I think I've spent the 5 minutes entertaining you and allowing everyone else to join. I hope I didn't do that bad, but the spotlight is really on Slovakia and with our excellent speakers. I wanted to go ahead and ask both of you about the understanding of the Slovak voters. I mean, who and why Slovak voters voted the way they did. We have the final results with which look very, very tight. I mean, these two electoral groups were not split evenly, but nearly there. It was a very close race, as we have seen and observed it also in the previous round and through the opinion polls. So I think we all need to know who are the Slovak voters who voted and what motivated them. What are your views? Mihaela, would you maybe give it a go and start?
Yes, sure. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry, I'm just recovering from more than just the election night. I also had some other problem this weekend. One thing that I would like to start with is that, in my opinion, it's safe to say that the victory of Peter Pellegrini is really another victory of the Kremlin in Central Europe. I thought about this very hard before putting it in my article yesterday. But I really think we can say that, especially in the last 2 weeks of the campaign, Peter Pellegrini himself, as well as his political allies, did not shy away from repeating the narratives that we've been hearing from various Russian propaganda channels for years, really. And so he heavily relied on that. And one of the main themes that probably mobilized voters, the war in Ukraine, and specifically portraying Ivan Korchok as the candidate of war, I think that was very motivating for voters, basically the voters of the ruling coalition in a very broad sense. So all kinds of people who in some way identify with Smer, Hlas, but also the Slovak National Party, they might not have been very keen on voting for Pellegrini at first, but eventually they just decided to turn out. And that's what decided the elections. And an important thing to realize about the second round of the presidential election is that the turnout was very high for the standards of what we had seen in the previous votes 5 years ago or 10 years ago. More than 60% of the people came to vote. Ivan Korčok lost the election with 1.2 million votes, which was basically more than Zuzana Čaputová or Andrej Kiska gained when they won the elections in their respective terms. But nevertheless, Peter Pellegrini managed to mobilize even more people, nearly 1.5 million, particularly on a campaign based on spreading hate, spreading fear, and spreading lies. I feel kind of stupid saying this because it's been repeated so many times in the last 3 days in Slovakia. Like, we really keep parroting this, but there is not much more to say about the things that he deployed as his campaign themes and his campaign tools. And I also have some numbers about the election, but maybe I will stop here for now.
Let me have a similar question to Eva. And we just ran a poll also on Twitter, totally non-representative, but you can check on Visegrad Insight. There is basically a poll. Do people believe this is a Russian grasp on Slovak politics comes with the vote and with the victory of Mr. Pellegrini in presidential elections? But I just wanted to ask how much of that is really true? How much do you believe that, especially, Eva, that we have 49% of people who voted seemingly against such a message? So what about also those voters, if you wanted? I mean, their candidate lost.
First of all, I would say that the result is not that tense as was expected. Everybody thought that it would be much smaller, the margin between them. It was not a statistical mistake, as everybody thought before the results. The margin is 7%, which is quite a lot, and it was all caused by a record turnout. It was a record turnout. It was the highest turnout since the first direct vote of president here in Slovakia in 1999. So the people were very much mobilized, very, very motivated to come and cast a ballot. And why? Well, just like Michaela said, that was the main motivation was fear of war, especially of war, but also other fears. There were supporters of Peter Pellegrini, and also he himself, were spreading fears of liberals. Even though Korčok does not label himself as liberal, he classified himself as a moderate conservative. Still, he is part of the opposition, which is labeled as a liberal progressive power center, and Pellegrini was still trying to portray the situation that if Korčok wins, there would be some new liberal progressive power center in the presidential palace. And somehow, I don't know how, because it's hard to explain, but somehow he might try to overthrow the Fico's government, and people might lose all the social benefits. This is, of course, a complete nonsense, and it's hard to believe how anybody could believe this, because the president doesn't have any powers like this. But still, this was even openly said by the Minister of Social Affairs, Erik Tomáš, for example. He said openly, this is a quote, "People will decide between the president of peace, which is Mr. Pellegrini, and president that would drag Slovakia to war just to be praised in Brussels." And even more, he said also another quote where he said that if Ivan Korčok wins, all the pensioners and socially vulnerable people will lose their social benefits. Even though it's a complete nonsense, they were creating constantly various kinds of fears among people that their lives would deteriorate if even if Korchok is elected, that there would be war, even that Korchok might deploy Slovak soldiers to Ukraine somehow, even though he really doesn't have any competencies to do that. We are living in post-factual situation, in post-factual world in Slovakia, maybe more than other countries do, because this is not only a problem of Slovakia, but here the influence of a post-factual rhetorics, I would say, narratives is very strong. And it's not that important what the facts are anymore. What prevails are really emotions. And this ruling coalition, Peter Pellegrini, his supporters are genius at using emotions among the voters, and their favorite emotion is fear, spreading fear. So it really worked with Slovak voters. Maybe I would just mention I think that it's a strong, or it's a very good example of what was the game here in the presidential campaign in Slovakia. Shortly before the second round of elections, all members of HLAS, which is the party of Peter Pellegrini, and also the members of the government, they shared on their social media pages, they shared a picture of an older woman embracing a soldier, apparently her grandson or son, embracing him, crying. It was very emotional, with a caption, "Come out and vote. Don't let Slovak sons and grandsons die in war." It was something which was very, it was disgusting. It was disgusting, and no doubt that Ivan Korchok, after the results were announced, he couldn't hide his disappointment. It was obvious that, I think that he was even shaken, because this was really unfair to portray him in such a way, which was not a, it was not an opinion on him. It was a fact stating, and the fact that he was the candidate of war was just not fair.
Okay, let me hold on to that, and I have a follow up question to you, Eva, and then I'll be back to you, Mihaila, with a question also related to upcoming political cycle. But when you mentioned this level of emotions, also the kind of narrative, it is not by now strange in many countries in Western Europe to have such kind of narrative. And the last time we've seen a successful campaign built on such a narrative, it was Hungary. And Viktor Orban 2 years ago exactly portrayed his counter-candidate, Peter Márkizay, as the candidate of war. Well, he consolidated his and even strengthened his appeal to the Hungarian electorate as a candidate of peace. The narrative that prevails in foreign policy of today and strengthens even the Hungarian position on this question, we have seen that Hungarian state TV sponsored a Pellegrini interview again on the day of elections. There was a lot of close, you would say, ties to be seen during the electoral period, but now expectedly also that there is more alignment potentially within NATO and EU of Slovakia and Hungary in building up their position because of that. And here is my follow-up question. To what extent do you think this is going to be impactful, the fact that such kind of narrative has been used, and to what extent it cements foreign policy objectives of Slovakia, given the war in Ukraine and given the also the regional dynamics, in which, surprisingly, Mr. Pellegrini took off Mr. Sikorski for Polish foreign minister of the hat also in the campaign, and he used him as a negative example of a politician he fights against in the campaign. So what sort of foreign policy can you run in a country that has so clearly expressed their preferences in terms of foreign policy in the presidential elections?
Well, first of all, we must underline that the Slovak president doesn't have executive powers. Even though he represents the country officially in abroad, that's true, but it's it's the government that that executes the foreign policy. And the fact is that Robert Fico, the prime minister, is now very, it is a big boost for his policies, not only domestic, but also for his foreign policy to do it in a way that he wants to do it. He even said openly after the ballots were cast and during the election night that this was a referendum on his government and that people approved or what his government is doing also in foreign policy. So I don't expect any change right now. I just expect that, yes, Slovakia will lean even closer to Hungary. They will team up even more if it is still possible. I don't know, because it seems like they are already working as a tandem. So definitely this partnership will gain on intensity. As for the Ukraine, I don't think that the presidential election is a game changer for this relation or for foreign policy of Slovakia in general. It has already been stated. Even Peter Pellegrini said right after he was elected that he wants to be a president who is advocating for a sovereign, independent policy, even foreign policy, that he will always stand up for the national interests and not the interest of foreign powers. This is the rhetoric that this government has been using for a long time, and Pellegrini has just repeated that he will stay on this track. I believe that this might influence, when we are talking about the presidential elections, they might influence what will happen in Czech Republic next year, because they will have their parliamentary elections next year. And Andrej Babiš, who's for the moment, according to polls, the most popular politician in Czech Republic, and he is set to win the next year elections, parliamentary elections. We're talking about parliamentary elections, which are more important than the presidential one. I believe that he will also feel boosted by the success of this type of campaign and this type of rhetoric, spreading fear and hatred. He will use it even more. He had already used it before during last year parliamentary elections. And I believe that we will see much more of this toxic rhetoric also in Czech Republic.
So this was a training grounds in a way. Mihaela, back to you with a question on, in a way, mixing both the foreign policy and international context of the vote with the domestic playout. I mean, we're also ahead of the very important vote of the European parliamentary elections. And at the same time, Mr. Fico has called the vote a referendum of kind on his government policy. This is what Eva was just referring to. What extent do you read these elections exactly as in this dynamic, and in what sense can they be impactful on the upcoming results in the European parliamentary elections in Slovakia?
I would say that Eva to some extent hinted at this, that the reaction this has all provoked in Slovakia is really disproportional to what the president really means in the Slovak system. So there is not going to be a lot of practical change. You know, like even if Ivan Korčok was the president, he would have some possibilities to influence things, to veto laws, but the veto is not like a definitive stop to some legislation in Slovakia if the president applies it. So you know, it's just that life will be easier for Robert Fico with Pellegrini in the presidential palace, but it's not. It wouldn't be an impossible life of the government with Korčok either way. And I'm saying this because I just like to illustrate that it's really like a very emotional time for some reason. Also, that this election is so very personalized. It's really like everything is concentrated in this one candidate. This probably has some mobilizing effect on people as well, and it's very very hard to expect some similar emotional or also rational reactions of the electorate in the European elections. So famously, the European elections have the lowest turnout in Slovakia. Slovakia is known for having the lowest turnout in the whole of the Union. And I don't expect this to change all that much after this presidential election. If anything, the voters are done with voting for the moment, and let's see what happens in the next 2 months. But it will all really depend on whether the coalition will manage to find some way to weaponize this war rhetoric, or find some candidates of war in the European among the candidates for the European Parliament of the opposition parties. Robert Fico himself has already started campaigning. For the purposes of this discussion, I have watched the almost 10-minute speech on Facebook that he recorded last night, and I don't recommend anyone to watch these things. But he has said some things like, maybe the West will punish us having elected Peter Pellegrini our president, and maybe the European Commission or the European Union of Brussels will come back at us now, and they will take away our EU funds because we have dared to elect someone like Peter Pellegrini and not their candidate Ivan Korčok. So there is this type of campaigning, I would call it, as well. It also says some important message about how this government treats the media and their own communication through the media. So they very much rely on other channels. Fico himself relies on his own Facebook videos quite a lot. But also one thing that should be mentioned, and that will play a role in the European election campaign and all the future election campaigns probably, is the role of the disinformation media that, the current government is very friendly with. They call them the civic media or citizens media or alternative media. And, they get interviewed a lot by these people. Really, compared to journalists from mainstream media, these disinformators get preferential treatment at press conferences and so on. And it's also true that during the moratorium for the last 2 days before the presidential, this second round election, when the Hungarian television was airing interview with Peter Pellegrini, also these disinformation channels were just simply, they kept on campaigning while we were on the
stand. And it's significant. Perhaps, sorry to intervene, but for the context, for those who don't know, it's significant to say that there is the biggest Hungarian minority abroad is actually in Slovakia, and there's Slovak citizens voting in the national elections.
Exactly, and they were viewed as a very important group within the electorate to shift the election result towards Korčok or towards Pellegrini. In the end, most of the Hungarian population appears to have voted for Pellegrini. Definitely this campaign that we just mentioned helped. It also helped that some of the prominent politicians of the only Hungarian, not the only, but the biggest Hungarian minority party supported Pellegrini. This party is known to be heavily influenced by Viktor Orban. They have very similar views on foreign policy, similar views on, democracy, really. And we can really expect that many promises have been made to the Hungarian minority in Slovakia from the Fico government for their support for Pellegrini, and it worked. So that's one thing. One thing that I would probably just mention, just to wrap it up, is that voters on both sides of the spectrum were mobilized. So what my colleague Martin Vancho in the Smederli managed to extract from the election data was that Pellegrini has managed to mobilize more people in the second round, but also Korčok managed to mobilize more people than those who voted for the now opposition parties in the parliament. So basically the difference between the two groups is not as large as it was in the parliamentary election in Slovakia. So somehow, and improvement for the opposition forces, but nevertheless the demonstration of the power of what really can be done with the campaign that doesn't have any limits, that was very strong. And I think we can expect it in any future election to come. And it's going to make the election outcomes quite unpredictable, because if anyone can say anything in the campaign, then it's very hard to assess what impact anything might have. So yes.
Thank you very much. We are going to continue the conversation and also with Q&A, with questions and answers and commentaries from the participants of this online call, the subscribers to Visegrad Insight, who have also registered for the conversation. I'm welcoming you all. But first, I wanted to again thank Mihaela Terenzani, editor at SME Daily, and Eva Mihochkova, editor-in-chief at the Foreign Policy Magazine of the Slovak Foreign Policy Association, and Marcin Krull Fellow as of spring 2024, to be formally announced in the coming days. Both texts of these excellent authors about Slovakia elections, and with the quotations you might have heard from that Eva was bringing, are already online, and there will be more writing on our wall at Visegrad Insight. So I encourage you to read it. But now we will go into the second part of the conversation, in which everybody who subscribed I have the privilege also to be engaged in a Q&A. So I'll be taking comments, questions, and navigating the discussion space.